That's a blessing. And obviously, being newly married, everybody loves a good newly married story. So I thought I'd tell you one this evening. So this morning, being the good husband that I am, you know, new husband, trying to start off on the right foot, I told my wife that I would take her car and take it to the shop because it was having some problems. It wouldn't start up. So this morning, woke up, had my fresh cup of coffee with creamer because I'm not a full man yet, just part of the way. And so I got out to her car, and I was like, okay, I'm going to get the car to Firestone, get it looked at, you know, easy day. So I get in, close the door, you know, whistling, and it's a push start, and it's not starting. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, oh, well, it's probably the battery. So I get Brother Cole, I'm like, hey, can you help me jump it? We're out there, start it up, still clink, 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 nothing. So I'm like, oh, no. So I did the next great thing, and I called my parents. I said, Dad, the car's not starting. He's like, did you try jumping it? Yes, you taught me that. I jumped it. So needless to say, I asked, what should I do? And so he said, call USA, our car insurance. And I called them, and I was going to have it towed. And so at this time, I told Sydney, hey, the vehicle's going to have to be towed. And so the tow truck driver comes up to the house, and we pop the trunk, and he's like, well, let me check your battery. I said, no, it's okay. I've already tried to jump it. And he takes the battery charger, and he puts one of the clips on the red terminal, but on her Ford, didn't realize this is a Ford thing, that the black terminal is so far back he can't reach it with the clips. They actually put a little terminal up front. And so he's going to clamp it down. I'm like, that's not the right spot for that. And he's like, yes, it is. I thought, no, it's not. It's a Ford. It's American made. It's not that confusing. So he puts it on there, and he says her battery's at 0.6 or something. And so he said, go start it up. I was like, man, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. Clicked the button, and it started right up. So I was like, man, marriage is tough. But I got it to the shop, and then we persevered, and I made it. So we're here tonight because of it. Amen. So Genesis chapter 39 is where we'll be tonight. And we'll be starting in verse number 1, Genesis chapter 39. And it says this, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him off the hand of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house and all that he had put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. And through verses number 8 down to verse number 21, that's about Potiphar's wife, and she's trying to get Joseph, entice him, and she's trying to get Joseph to sleep with her. And Joseph says, no, I won't. And it's interesting to note that in verse number 9, Joseph says, I will not do this wickedness and sin against God. Notating that it wasn't Potiphar's wife he'd be sinning against, it was God. And Joseph made that point of, no, it's God I'd be sinning against. And nonetheless, Joseph is, well, he's caught at the wrong place, at the wrong time, and he is thrown into prison. And in verse number 20 it says, and Joseph's masters took him and put him in the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison and whatsoever they did there. He was the doer of it. the keeper of the prison looked not at anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and all that he, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Let's pray this evening, and then we'll get into it. Dear God, gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this day, Lord. I thank you for this evening and just the opportunity to be able to preach. And Father, would you calm my nerves and just give me clarity of thought and of speech. And just help this to honor and glorify you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So after I graduated from Bible college, I didn't go into ministry right away. In fact, after I graduated, I had no plans really. There was some possibilities, but nothing concrete, nothing set in stone. And so when I was graduating from Heartland, I asked my home pastor and I said, well, what would be the best thing I should do? And he said, well, I think you should come on home. And I actually also called Pastor Foster. I just said, you know, what should a young man out of Bible college do? And he said, well, just go home and just seek out the Lord. So I went home. And when I got home for the summer, I had no plans, like I said. So I ended up just going back to an old employer who I'd worked for during the wonderful pandemic, COVID. I went back to Home Depot. And I went there and I asked if they were hiring, and they said yes. And I was able to get a part-time job there. And I was working the mornings. I was working 5 a.m. to 1:30. And so that's what I worked for the summer with no plans in mind. And when you start as a Home Depot associate, you're onboarded, and through the orientation, you'll sit down with the store manager, and they'll ask you, what are your plans? You know, kind of just interrogate you. You know, what are you doing here? What do you want to work here? And so Lisa was her name, and Lisa said, so tell me your story. Where'd you come from? And so I told her how I had graduated from Bible college and that my desire in my heart was to be in full-time ministry, be serving on staff at a church. And so I just made that clear at the beginning, this is what I'd like to be doing. And so she graciously said, well, tell you what, you just work here, and you know, when the time comes that you need to move forward, you just let me know. And so with that in mind, I worked the summer and still had no internship, nothing in sight. And then my wife at the time, she was my girlfriend, she said, well, why don't you come to Michigan and work under my pastor? So I thought, well, that's a pretty good idea, actually. So I ended up contacting her pastor, and then I ended up talking to my home pastor. And I said, so what do you think of this plan? So they kind of batted it around, and through the whole summer, I would counsel with my home pastor and ask him and seek his counsel. And the end of the summer came. And when the end of the summer came, I went up to my home pastor, and I said, so do you think I can go? And he said, Gabe, I don't think it's the right time. And for a young man just fresh out of Bible college, it kind of set me back a little bit. You know, why would you say it's not the right time? And he just said, you just need to grow. And he said, I think you'd be better off just staying here and just getting a job and just growing. He said, there's just some immaturities. He said, you're just still kind of a young man. That was just kind of like, oof. Okay, I'm still a child. But at the time, I didn't realize it. I just thought, man, I'm ready to start at a church. So with that being said, I had called my wife's pastor and I said, look, sir, I can't come to Michigan. The plan's not going to happen. And so I went back to Home Depot and I went there and I told them that I won't be going to a church. And at that time, the store manager, Lisa, she said, well, since you mentioned that, we have a full-time position opening up. And I said, okay, what is it? And she said, it's the curbside position. And those were the people that when you'd pull up to the store, they'd come out and load your vehicle, hopefully in a speedy fashion or manner. And so she told me the plan and everything, and I thought, well, if that's the best, then I'll take that. And I'll be honest, it wasn't what I wanted. I just graduated from Bible college. I had a heart and a desire to be in ministry. And I was like, this is what's going to happen. Okay, nothing ministry related. And so I ended up taking the position. And within my first week there, it was a Tuesday through Saturday, 9:30 to 6. And in my first week there, it was a Tuesday, and I was getting used to, or I guess understanding how the job worked. You know, what was the logistics, what it entailed. And I remember my first day there, Tuesday. You know those times where you're just kind of walking and talking with God? You're not praying. You're just you're just kind of talking with God. You're just kind of saying, really, Lord? And just trying to make sense of everything going on. Now, I remember I was walking down, it was distinct in how the store was laid out. So if we're looking at it, on the right side was ladders, and on the left side was lumber. And I was walking down looking for an order, and I was just talking with God, and I was saying, Lord, why? I went to Bible college for 4 years. I have a heart to be in ministry. Why? What's going on, Lord? And I remember just walking down and just kind of feeling defeated. Like everything I had worked so hard for, stayed up late for, had really poured my heart into, was just taken away. Why, Lord? And I remember I looked up at an order, and this passage came to mind. I thought, Genesis 39, Joseph. And I was sitting there thinking, why Joseph in my mind? And I remember just the Lord kind of just spoke to me. He said, Gabe, if you'll learn to be faithful to me right now and stay faithful to me, I can do some amazing things with your life. And at that moment, I thought, well, that was a weird thought or epiphany, and I just sat there for a minute. And through the course of the year, I would understand that it took real faith in the Christian life, because at Bible college, you're really protected, if I can say it that way. You're just in a good atmosphere, good people. There's not really anybody confrontational. No, well, there's sinners there, but, you know, no really bad sinners there. And so when I understood this, I thought, wow, the Christian life is way harder than Bible college. And I didn't realize that to have real faith in God wasn't just a simple thing. No, I'd have to get my hands dirty. I'd have to get in His Word more. And I'd have to commit to stay faithful to Him. And when I realized that, I realized, well, I do have some growing to do. And my pastor was right. He just wasn't willing to tell me what I needed to fix. And as I continued on throughout the 2 years, I came to this conclusion that the Christian life isn't about obeying Bible college rules. It's about living a life that will honor and glorify God through everything that I do. Once I realized this, it wasn't something big, crazy, it was something simple. But I neglected the simple because I thought there were bigger things I needed to be concerned about. And when I started to learn how to be faithful to God, I started to understand what happens when you're faithful. You can receive blessings from God. And I just want to focus back to the passage and just kind of bring us up to where we're at. Chapter 37, Joseph was with his father, and his father Israel loved Joseph. And so Joseph was given the coat of many colors, and we remember this as children, drawing the coat of many colors, one color at a time. And we remember Joseph was given the coat of many colors because his father loved him, and his brothers ended up hating him and becoming jealous and envious. And in verse number 4 of chapter 37, it says that his brothers couldn't speak peaceably unto him. They hated him. They hated his stinking guts. They were mad, and they're like, man, our father loves him more than us. And so in verses 5 through 11, Joseph ends up having a dream, and in this dream, he's out in the field, and he's binding sheaves with his brothers, and his sheaf stands upright. And his brothers stand around him, and they give obeisance, is the word that the scripture uses, which means gave worship. So they started bowing down to Joseph's sheaf. And so Joseph went to his brothers, and he said, hey, you'll never guess what kind of dream I had last night. And so Joseph tells his brothers this great dream he had. And his brothers questioned him. And they said, shalt thou indeed reign over us? Like, get a load of this guy. And then, shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? I mean, up to this point, they're related. I'm pretty sure they were thinking maybe they needed to take Joseph somewhere quickly. And Joseph then went to his father and told him the dream. And then he also told his father and his brothers about how the sun, moon, and stars would also bow down to him. And his father ended up rebuking him, and his brothers hated him the more. And because of this hatred, the brothers decided, let's do something to Joseph. So at first they thought, well, let's just kill him. I thought, no, that's a little too extreme. And they ended up deciding to throw him into a pit. And then after that, they decided, well, let's make some profit off of our brother. And so they sold him to the Ishmaelites. And as we go through chapter number 38 is a story about Judah and Tamar. And as I read it, I realized it's a lot of family drama, just nothing to get into this evening. But then as we pick up in chapter 39, we're back with Joseph. And Joseph was the man who was found in a pit, and he was taken to a place called Egypt, and this was a place away from home. And I just want to say, this was probably the place Joseph never intended to be. I mean, Joseph probably didn't look at his calendar and say, all right, so Egypt is next week, okay, we're going to head there. He didn't expect it. All he knew was he was in a pit one moment, and then he was sold by his brothers the next. And he was brought down to Egypt, which in my study, I thought, why Egypt? Well, it was a place that was full of great wealth and riches, and geographically it was close to the Nile, so there was good vegetation there. So obviously a lot of people went there. So that's probably where they would have taken most slaves to sell them off, because there was good work there. And this is where Joseph was taken, to Egypt. And when he was brought to Egypt, he was brought before a man named Potiphar. Now, the Bible doesn't say Joseph could have known who Potiphar was, or he couldn't have. But nonetheless, Joseph was in a pit, and let's just call it, he was in a pit of despair, just nothing. He was helpless. He was left out, hung to dry. And now he's brought along, and he's brought to Egypt, and he's brought to this man named Potiphar, who is a man with high rank. He was an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian. This was a man due respect. And so Joseph is brought from the pit to Potiphar, if we could say it that way. And I just want to say Joseph's geographical location may have changed from where he was at, the pit to Potiphar. But God remained in the same place the entire time. From the time Joseph was in the pit to the time he was brought into the land of Egypt, God was with him every single second. Not once did God neglect him or leave him. And the same God who is faithful to Joseph is the same God who's faithful to us. Psalms 1:3 says this, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Psalm 46:7, "The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah." And Psalm 91:15, "He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. And I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him." And Isaiah 41:10 says this, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God, and I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." In Isaiah 43:2, "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, they shall not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." God will be with us through every trial of life we go through. And God was with Joseph. I just want to say this, that God will be with you when the pay is really good. We all like to get paid really good. God will be with you when your pay is good, when your family is faithful to church, when everyone's involved and happy to be in church. Not just drag the kids along, why do I have to go to church? But they're excited to be in church. And most of you might see, but in kids' church, the kids will run in excited. And I'll talk about thankfulness, and we'll have prayer time. And I'll say, all right, what is something you're thankful for? Something you saw God do this week? And I can't get them to stop talking. And sometimes, though, they're thankful for the bunny rabbit they saw yesterday. But nonetheless, they're at least thankful. And they might not fully understand it, but someday they'll understand that thankfulness is because of one person. And they'll be thankful for the bunny rabbit, but they'll be thankful for the master who created the bunny rabbit. And just as God is with you who are or with the family who is faithful in church, he's also with you when life is good. Just life in general, when life is good. And we all know it, when life is good, you kind of just sit back in your recliner and say, man, how could life get any better than this? When your wife is happy, happy wife, happy life, and I'm learning that. Or simply when your marriage is good, God is with you. He's faithful to you. When the family's doing good, God's with you. What about when the times are bad? When you're the only one in church who is faithful to God? He's still with you. When none of the kids are in church, they've all grown up and decided that this church thing isn't for them. God's still with you. When the pay isn't great, when you're not making a lot, he's still with you. When you lose a loved one, he's still with you. When life isn't going like it should, if I could say it that way, he's still with you. From the Rocky Mountain high views to the Shenandoah valleys, from highs to lows, he's still with you. He's faithful to you. He's faithful to us. And we in return should be faithful to him because he's done so much for us. And David tells his own son Solomon this in 1 Chronicles 28:20. David says, and David said to Solomon, his son, be strong and of good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee, until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. God will always be faithful to his children, no matter the circumstance, situation, or trial of life. He's there for you. God's there to help those who are faithful to him. And it's evident in Joseph's life. Joseph needed some help. God was there for him. And Joseph's faith in the Lord didn't start when the trial began, when things weren't going so well. It had to have started beforehand. And when Joseph was brought into the pit, the Bible doesn't say, but I imagine Joseph was thinking, Lord, what's going on? And then he sold off to the Ishmaelites, Lord, what's going on here? He's brought before Potiphar, Lord, I don't understand this. I don't like this. This isn't what should be happening. And so Joseph is brought to Potiphar, and he's brought to Egypt. And the Bible says this, that when Joseph was faithful to God and the Lord was faithful to him, he made Joseph to be prosperous. And the word prosperous, I looked it up, it means to move forward. So Joseph became prosperous. He was faithful to God and the Lord was faithful to him, and he brought Joseph forward. He moved him forward. And Joseph was prosperous in where he was at. And the Bible says that in this position that Joseph's master saw, that the Lord was with Joseph. Joseph had a good testimony, and others could see it. So how is our walk with the Lord? Do others see that we're Christians? Do others see that we choose to identify with Christ? Do others see that we have a real, genuine walk with the Lord? Or are we just Sunday and Wednesday Christians? And the rest of the week, we just live how we want to. Well, Joseph lived as a Christian, and his masters saw it. They saw that Joseph was faithful to the Lord, and in return, the Lord made him to prosper. And the Lord blessed Joseph's faithfulness, and he allowed him to prosper, succeed in everything. Simply, Joseph was thriving. He was doing well. And all around, everyone could see that Joseph was walking with the Lord, and soon, Joseph's prosperity would bring him position. Because eventually, his masters would see that he was prospering, he was moving forward, And then his masters would put everything in Joseph's hand. And Joseph would be overseer over everything. And I just have to sit here and think about it for a minute of what must have been going through Joseph's head. The fact that Joseph was stuck in the pit of despair, no clue what was going to happen with his life, and then he's brought before this man named Potiphar, who maybe it's the first time he's met, and then he works under Potiphar, and then he's brought and he's made overseer over everything. You don't get from the pit to position just like that, unless you're a really good worker. But even if you're a good worker, that doesn't happen overnight. God was faithful to Joseph, and Joseph was faithful to God. And when we're faithful to God and obey God, He will not only bless us, but He'll bless those around us as well. And we see that in Joseph's life, that God made even the house of the Egyptians to prosper. Joseph was faithful to God, so God blessed Joseph. He made him prosperous. But then He made the house and the Egyptians around him to prosper too. And I just want to say this, that when we're faithful to God, those around us will prosper. It might be in our own family or in our friends. When we're faithful to God, why would God stop blessing us? He might bless those around us. But I do want to say this, there's also another side to that coin. When you decide to not be faithful to God, when you decide to live in sin and do as you please, you can pick the sin, you can't pick the consequences. You can pick the sin, but you can't pick the consequences. And sometimes the consequences affect you, affect your family, affect more than just your own family. It's your church family. It's a ripple effect. In this case, Joseph was faithful to the Lord, and he was a hard worker. And the Lord blessed Joseph as well as the Egyptians. But everything could have been different if Joseph decided to just live how he wanted, away from God. And maybe for those here tonight who work a good job, the Lord has blessed you. He's allowed you to be prosperous. He's given you a good raise or maybe good position. And we praise the Lord for that, for good leaders who are out there as Christians and they're serving among the ranks in business. We need good Christian leaders. And the Lord's given you position. And you might say, well, I didn't deserve it. Well, you were faithful to God, and God blessed you in this way. But when we're unfaithful to God, we can also be unfaithful to our bosses too. You slack off at work. You don't see the consequences on the other side of that. And just like when you disobey your boss or you're kind of lackadaisical at work, what can happen? Well, you can turn work in late. You can lose a bonus. You can maybe even lose your job. And those are consequences of disobeying your boss. But sometimes when you're unfaithful to God, you pick the sin. You don't pick the consequences. And Joseph was continually faithful to God. And through everything that took place, because of that, the Lord was with Joseph and he blessed him beyond anything he could ever imagine. Joseph kept God first at all times. Even when Joseph was prosperous and then he was put in this position, not once did Joseph take his eyes off the Lord. And I just want to say for those who work in a position or work at a job and they're in a high position, don't ever take your eyes off God or think that money is better than God. Because the moment you get your eyes off God is the moment you're going to lose more than just your job. Joseph kept his eyes on the Lord. He said, Lord, I'm just going to follow you. And Joseph was overseer over everything. Now, it could have been just a small house or it could have been a few acres. But he was still overseer of everything. And he didn't take his eyes off the Lord. And we shouldn't either. We should continually stay faithful to God. No matter how prosperous we are, the high position we're in, we shouldn't allow our pay or position to get in front of us. We also shouldn't allow our work to hinder us from serving the Lord. I remember when I worked at Home Depot through the years, I'd have to work Wednesday evenings, and I'd get off at 6. And so with getting off at 6, that left me an hour to get to church. So that meant I could go to KFC, get a meal, head to church. That was the plan. But there was one night, just things weren't going my way. You know when you're at work and just nothing's going right. You've started off the day with a good cup of coffee, and you're still wishing you were drinking that good cup of coffee because the day's just not going well. We've all had those days. And so this day particular was a Wednesday, and it was 6 o'clock. And my manager said, "Gabe, can you stay?" I thought, well, I can spare a few minutes. And so they understood I had church. I had obligations to the Lord. And remember, during this time, these 2 years I was at home, I've been trying to build my faithfulness to God. And that was meaning being faithful in church, being there when the doors are open, being there on time, early if I could, but just being there on time, being in church. So I said, yes, I can give a few minutes of my time. And so I was working, 6:15 rolled around. Okay, it's only a 15-minute drive to church, I'm all right. 6:30 rolls around. Okay, I'm starting to sweat down my back a little bit, looking at the clock, and I'm working a little bit harder, working quicker, trying to get everything done. Going up to my managers, okay, this is done, can I go? Well, we need your help here. Just working and working. 6:45. Sir, ma'am, whichever manager was working, I got to go to church. 7 o'clock rolls around. I got to get to church. Lord, I'll be to church on time. Don't you worry. I'll miss the song service, but I'll still be at church. Not till 7:30. Walked into church. Back of the auditorium. It was like when I closed that door, it echoed throughout the church. Boom. I slipped to the back, caught maybe 15 minutes of the service. But I want to tell you, church, it grieved me. Man, it hurt my heart. It hurt my soul that I had been so late and that I missed church. And the Lord knew I was trying to do right. I was trying to be to church on time. And for those here this evening, you may have missed church, or maybe your job needed you a little bit longer, so you stayed to just be a good employee. But the Lord knew your heart. You wanted to be at church. And it's good to grieve when you miss church. You can't be there. And I know in 2020, we couldn't assemble together. And for a lot of people, that grieved us, that we couldn't meet together. And that's good. That's good to grieve when you can't be in church. But it's a problem when you say, it's just a Sunday. It's just a Wednesday. Church will be there the next service. I think COVID helped us realize we might not have a next service. And especially with the way the government was forcing things, we might not have even been able to assemble together anymore. It's not just another church service. We choose how faithful we are to God when we choose what's important to us. So, if God's important to you, His Word should be important to you, should it not? And if His Word's important to you, shouldn't church be important to you? Or do we just major on the minors but not minor on the majors, thinking that church is important? Just say, it's just a service. I'll be there Sunday evening. So what's important to you? Is God that important to you? It's worth being to church on time? Joseph was faithful to God through it all. The pit to Potiphar. And soon, Joseph would come into this situation where he'd be brought before Potiphar's wife. And Joseph was still faithful to God. He didn't sin against God. He didn't say, "Lord, She's kind of giving me the look." Ladies, you know the one pastor jokes about sometimes, the look that ladies will give a guy? He may have said, "Lord." Joseph should have ran. He should have just said, "Potiphar, your wife, no bueno, this ain't going to work." He should have said, "I need to leave." But he was caught in the wrong place at the wrong time. And Joseph was put in prison. But at the end of the chapter, the Lord never forsook Joseph. The Lord was faithful to Joseph. And he was with Joseph from the pit to Potiphar, to Potiphar's wife situation, to prison, through everything. God was faithful to Joseph. And Joseph, in return, was faithful to God. God's faithful to you when you're having a tough time at work. But I just want to say this, when you're having a tough time at work, stay faithful to God. When the bills are adding up because of inflation, well, inflammation because of your headache, stay faithful to God. When you feel like you've been thrown in the pit of despair, just crushed, things aren't going right. Lord, things aren't going like they should. I don't deserve this. Joseph didn't deserve it. He didn't deserve to be hated by his brothers. Now, there was jealousy there, yes, but his brothers never had to throw him in the pit. But Joseph stayed faithful to God. And so when you feel like you've been thrown in a pit of despair, stay faithful to God. It's often the spiritual mountaintop views that we feel the closest to God when things are going good. But it's the valleys that prove how faithful we'll be to God. So, fast forward my few years back home after Bible college. It's the end of the time. Pastor has called me and said, "Hey, how'd you feel about coming down to Texas? What's the weather like there?" "Well, it's hot." "Oh, okay." "But how would you feel about coming to Texas?" I was excited. "Yes, sir, Pastor. I'd love to come down. I'd love for this opportunity to come." And so at the end of a Home Depot employee's career, they do something for them. So what they do is they have an apron and they sign it. And they fill it out. And just so everybody can see it, there's signatures everywhere, and I just want to say this. I'm not trying to boast or to be prideful. God's been good to me. And each of these here say, good luck, Gabe, we'll miss you. But you'll notice there's verses. John 13:7. Jeremiah 33:3. And the list could go on. I could sit here all night and read all these things to you, even on the back. And I just want to say this, church, that I didn't expect any of that. That, to me, to you, might just look like signatures on an apron. You might just say, "Man, what a waste of a perfectly good apron." There's plenty at Home Depot. But to me, that was just a sign of what happens when I was decided to be faithful to God and how to walk with the Lord that others could see. Because I could have come to the end of my whole time there and decided that God wasn't worth it. I said, "This whole thing isn't worth it to be faithful to God. It's too hard. It's not worth it. I can do everything myself. I can work hard and make the pay. I'm good enough to do everything." That's what I could have thought. But when I said, "Lord, I'm going to figure out that I just need to stay faithful to you. Lord, I'll be honest, I didn't think I deserved where I was supposed to be. I thought I was supposed to be at a church in ministry. God, I didn't deserve this at all." And I would talk to my pastor and I'd feel like everybody was against me. I felt like I was in my own pit of despair. Just, man, things aren't going right. But in time, when I was faithful to God, He brought me out of that pit. And He began to make me prosperous. And I may have never been overseer of Home Depot, which Thank goodness. The Lord blessed me beyond I could even imagine. He allowed me to build relationships. He allowed me to spread the gospel to coworkers. He allowed me to let others see the light of Christ in me. But that never would have happened if I decided to let the pit of not being in ministry take a hold of me. And for each and every one of us tonight, I don't know what the pit is you're in. I don't know what the trial of lives you're going through. I don't know what each and every person is going through and battling, but I just want to say this. Stay faithful to God. We each have a choice each and every day who we're going to serve and who we're going to stay faithful to. You can let the pit conquer you, or you can be faithful to God and let Him prosper you. Who knows what you'll be overseeing next? But it doesn't happen instantly. It takes some time. It takes faithfulness. And we each and every one of us have a choice. Faithfulness to God or to ourselves. We'll receive blessings from Him. But when we choose to live our lives, you pick the sin, you don't pick the consequences. Unfaithfulness to God. Why should God give you anything? So who will you choose? What will you choose? Faithfulness? Unfaithfulness? He's always been faithful to you. Let's pray. Dear God, gracious Heavenly Father,